Yeah, Bryan Adams, Summer of 69, here at Classic Hits. Waking up happy with BJ and Jim, 7.5 minutes past six on this Monday, 21st of September.
Hello, what's the story and all?
What is the story with you? How are you today?
Grand, I suppose, you know yourself.
Did you make anything of that thing there that was called the weekend there that happened at the weekend?
Did I make anything of it? Not really. Yes and no. I was hanging out with one of the dogs for the entire time.
Well, no better way to spend it.
Yeah, I took one of them. Yeah. I was like, right, I'm not dealing with two of them. I'm going to take one of them.
It wasn't a scorcher now, to be fair. Bright and, nice and all that.
It was lovely in the mornings. It got progressively worse as the days went on. But I was walking the dog at 7 yesterday morning. And it was really,
7
really,
on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, and it was lovely and sunny and bright. It was gorgeous, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
today, actually, speaking of weather, is meant to be a belter.
Oh, it is today. Oh, yeah, I couldn't believe it. When I looked at the forecasting on the phone there.
Yeah.
I was going to come in the bike and all I was there. I will not. I'm jumping into my shorts today.
Absolutely. It's just sun all day and higher temperatures than we had all weekend.
Yeah.
It's like we got this one month. It's extraordinary. It's like
lockdown.
The sun came out to celebrate the pubs reopening.
Everywhere except for Dublin.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. I was wondering what Gareth was saying there. He texted in just to say, what does Jim McCabe, Mike Hogan, and a few other people all have
in common? And John Hart.
John Hart, yeah. All have in common that PJ doesn't.
Not for long, my friends. Not for long.
Anyway,
I have a funny feeling we're all going to be into a clampdown soon enough. You'll know
true.
What it's like.
But it looks like it's going to be a belter of a day today, weather-wise. Looks like it's going to be an absolute scorcher.
Yeah, it does.
Well, September standards.
17, 18 degrees in the middle of the day.
Maybe higher in some spots.
I'm sure it's Halloween in like a couple of hours. See, you know what I mean? It's fantastic.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it? A scorcher on Halloween.
Oh,
would be incredible.
Love that. It'd sum up this year well, wouldn't it?
Perfect. Ace of Base, all that she wants here at Classic Hits. 12.5 minutes past six. Morning, folks. Thanks for letting us hang out with you. Thanks so many for all of the WhatsApps. Good morning to you. Happy Mondays. 087-188-0008 if you do want to give us a shout. Magic Mike will be along a bit later on. He's actually filling in for Niall Boylan this week, so we allowed him a slightly later start than normal.
Lazy bugger. When's he coming in?
We've allowed him a lie-in till about, maybe 7 o'clock or
outrageous.
Something.
Outrageous. Lazy bugger. Get yourself together.
He'll be in time for the important stuff.
Unbelievable. Just because he has to do two jobs.
I know, yeah. Like, that's
unreal.
Some sort of an excuse.
Yeah.
I mean, I do two jobs every morning.
So what?
Mine and yours.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody ever says anything to me.
It's the thing, isn't it? People, because they have to do it, just because they're doing work and all. Yeah, yeah.
That's shocking, carry on.
Shocking.
Anyway, he'll be here for the important bit, which is Double Money Monday.
Yes.
Which is big wedge to later
on
today.
It's mad money, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
3,700 quid. Mad money is what it is.
Tasty. Anyway, listen, that's all still to come. In the meantime, let's do the birthdays. I left off a couple of big names, but there were big names who were sort of like, I don't know if you'd know their faces. Like, for example, would you know what Jerry Bruckheimer looked like?
No, I haven't a clue. I even know the name?
You know, like, you'd know then, like, the big film producer, you know,
is that
behind
what he does?
All that Top Gun and all those huge movies.
Oh,
and Stephen King. Would you know what he looks like?
Yes, I do know what Stephen King
How
looks like.
How would you know that?
Ah,
name?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a clue what he looks like.
I've seen interviews with Stephen King. Have you not? He's a big square head. He looks like an old Clark Kent.
Does he?
He does. He looks like an old Clark Kent. He really does.
Anyway, listen, let's get down to the ones I have for you, right? Actually, this would have made Mike very happy today. Start with this lad.
Yeah.
Because these boys meant a lot to Mike.
Well, I know already who you're talking about. It's the Oasis lads.
Yeah, it's Liam's birthday today.
Liam, right. He's
Liam Gallagher.
One. He's the younger of the two.
The younger and the slightly more outspoken.
Yeah, that, well, yeah.
Which, when you're talking about the two of them, is saying something, to be perfectly fair. Because Noel doesn't exactly hold back. But
although, isn't Noel turned into a pig now as well, isn't he? He's one of these, he's got, there's this thing going around that if you're wanted to be a famous singer in the 90s.
Right.
You had to do a deal with the devil. If you are from Manchester and you want to be a singer in the 90s, you do a deal with the devil that you turn into a complete and utter arsehole when it gets to 2020.
What's he doing now? Is he gone?
He's gone one of these, I'm not going to wear the mask, you don't tell me what to do. He's turned into one of these.
Unbelievable.
It's great the way these rich people are suddenly, you know, rebels. It's like the Van Morrison thing.
I was just going to say, they're strange bedfellows.
Yeah, they
are. Noel Gallagher and Van Morrison.
Oh, cranky bastards. Like, you know, that's the thing, isn't it? That's what it really comes down to. Yeah. Someone said about Van Morrison yesterday was great crack. I was someone chatting to a lad. He goes, he lived through North, through the troubles of the North and everything.
Yeah.
And he lived through all of that. And he lived in the States during some of the big upheavals, you know, of the black people who
civil,
were
civil rights thing, yeah.
And he's never written a song of revolution. But because he has to finally do something, he finally
suddenly he wants to make a break for freedom.
He's written three songs of revolution and freedom. Shut your mouth, you stupid moron. I gotta say, Noel Gallagher is.
Liam.
Sorry, I beg your pardon.
He's, is there much between them, by the way?
Oh, I don't know. There couldn't be that much.
Exactly.
She'd never hang out. It's hard enough hanging out with your little brother, isn't it? Never mind if he's going to be a chunky ears.
Well, yeah, that explains a lot.
Yeah, I'd say he's... Oh, he's 51.
48.
Ah, fuck.
Not bad. 48. Right now, a hero of modern times for us next.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to remember. It was that... I'm trying to remember that specific game. You'll remember it, I know, the minute I say it to you. Richard Dunn. Is celebrating his birthday today.
Richard Dunn.
What was that?
He played with a marker on his back.
What was that game where he was literally a wall? He single-handedly kept out. Who the hell were we playing that day?
Oh, I don't know.
Somebody will text it in. Somebody will get it, definitely
God,
get it in.
I can't but remember.
You remember?
Can't
it, remember. Like, there's one really... Russia, that was it.
Russia.
I was going to say Russia, and I didn't back myself.
I bottled it.
But, and he literally, single-handedly, he just was... He kind of, you know, he kept out the Russian forces.
He did a Neville Southall on it and just filled the space so nobody could get through.
There was that thing, yeah, they had to draw the number five on his...
drawing on his back. Wasn't that him as well? That was very funny. And yeah. I think that jersey is in some sports museum or something, wasn't it?
Proper order, too.
When they did the exhibition last year, I think that jersey with his number print written on the back with an old Sharpie marker.
Yeah, yeah. He seems like a decent skin.
Does, yeah, he does.
I've never
actually
met him now, but he seems like he'd be a dead sound kind of run-of-the-mill character.
Yeah, he does, actually. And in fairness to him, if you can build a wall and keep the Russians out, you're doing something that... very few people have managed to do before.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I'm going to say he's... oh, he's like 40, he's 47.
41.
Oh, is he God?
41, yeah, yeah. Does a bit of punditry now for air sports or somebody or whatever like that, yeah. Anyway, right, what about this? Significant birthday for this man. Funny guy, to be fair to him. Bill Murray.
Oh, Bill Murray, I love Bill Murray.
Yeah.
I love Bill Murray.
We were talking about Groundhog Day the other day, weren't we?
We couldn't remember.
We were trying to remember what the genuine article was.
Yeah, because you were saying something like if he wakes up and smells a bag of sweets under his shadow.
If he sees his shadow, then it's 6 weeks of winter or something. I don't know.
Then he's 6 weeks of sweets until he sees a winter or something. I can't remember.
Of course, Ghostbusters.
Best movie ever.
Great.
You know the way I feel about it. Mm-hmm. You know the way I feel about losing my pride of jumpers.
Absolutely. Somebody was suggesting that for your Jaffa Jake kind of, you know, take on or whatever, you know, this world record attempt, that we finally get you your Ghostbusters, jumper.
Yeah, I'd love to. Oh,
and just replace the ghost with a Jaffa cake.
I don't know. It just has the same effect, to be honest. I have a funny feeling that I may well be sick of Jaffa cakes when this is over.
Yeah. Right, the great Bill Murray, remember, significant birthday.
He's 80.
No, he's 70, man. 70.
I thought he was older than that.
Actually, to be fair to you, I might have snuck it older than that myself.
I definitely did. Like,
it does feel like he's been around a long time.
It does feel like he's been around a long time. Like, 70. I remember when he was in the Kilkenny Comedy Festival and we were all there.
Yeah.
And we were only starting, and that's 25 years ago, and we all thought, jeepers, he's getting on a bit, so...
Right, 70 for Bill Murray. Now, this is one of your guilty pleasures.
Yeah.
I know for a fact. You fessed up to this before. Ricky Lake!
Celebrating
her birthday today.
I used to love watching the Ricky Lake show on me lunch breaks and all. Oh, it was
now,
great.
She's described here as a poor man's Oprah Winfrey.
She is, absolutely. And the names of the shows were ridiculous, weren't they? Do you remember that? I used to be hot, 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 but you won't believe what's happened. Now I'm never going to be not, or something. It was the maddest title.
Yeah, the titles were like a small paragraph.
Yeah, yeah. When I was in school, no one said, wow, but woe is me, just look at me now. That'd be the name of one of her episodes. Like, it was just incredible stuff.
America's the only place that could have shows like that.
I know
England kind of did it with the... what's your man's name? The guy who's a bit of a knob.
Oh, who's that now? Van Morrison.
No, the other one. What's a man's name? Famous talk show host.
I don't know.
Jeremy. No. Is it Jeremy Kyle?
Jeremy Kyle.
I know they tried to do it in England like that. But
yeah, that was yeah.
If you want to get proper mad, you have to go American.
You do have to go American. I'll never and the things they say to each other and everything. Yeah. They had this woman. She came out to show how good looking she was after her school days, and she was on this chariot thing, and there was four lads who were half in the nip carrying her out, right? And they carried her out, and she was on it, and it was all fanfare and music, and this fella dressed as a cherub with a trumpet, you know. Right? And she was gorgeous, in fairness to her. Yeah. And then she got off and sat down there all whooping and hollering in the audience. I know. And then they looked at the fella who used to give her grief in school and says, "Now what do you think?" And he goes, "She might have lost a few pounds, but she still look ugly to me." I was like, "Oh my God. This is ferocious. This is ferocious, this show." Brilliant.
Imagine putting yourself through that.
Oh, imagine it, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Imagine it.
Awful. Right, Ricky Lake. Stick an age on Ricky Lake.
I got to say, Ricky Lake is 58.
52.
Oh, for God's sake, I went way too high.
52. Early. And then this one is kind of like your curveball, although I'm sure you'll instantly recognise the name because he's become a massive phenomenon. Joe Wicks,
of course.
Is celebrating his birthday
Mr.
today.
Mr. Fitness himself. He's taken over the world, hasn't
he? Mad to talk about from zero to hero. Like, he's just...
He must be the biggest name in the world for fitness.
Out of nowhere.
Pretty much. I didn't know anything about him.
Nothing.
And then,
all of a sudden, he was just on every... It was just all over television, and he books everywhere. And it was like, where did that come from?
And everybody in the world is doing his diets, workouts, and everything.
Your mate's good friend of the show, Jason Byrne, does tend to have a go a bit on his social media.
Oh, I haven't seen
that. He impersonates him.
Does he?
He draws on the abs and everything.
Oh, I haven't seen that at all.
Yeah. It's good. It's actually it's funny, all
right. Right, I'll say Joe Wicks is... Oh, he's only young. 31. Or something.
34.
All right.
34. I'm just looking at this. Apparently he did daily workouts from his home and became the nation's PE teacher during lockdown.
He did, yeah. And he gave a whole load of money to some children's foundation.
Oh,
or something.
Did he?
Yeah, he's after.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, my sister was mad into it. She's doing it at the minute now. She's still at it.
It helps that he's a good looking dude.
Does, yeah.
When you're going to, you know.
Mind you, knowing that you aren't. If you're a Mr. Fitness and you are like, you know. You were like something off the Ricky Lake show. Nobody's going to really take your advice too seriously.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah, right, so Joe Wicks, 34.
Now you're up to date on the home of PJ and Jim, waking up happy weekdays from 6 a.m. This is Classic Hits.
Cheers, John. How are you this morning, sir?
Very well, good morning.
How was the John Hart weekend? That sounds like a magnificent documentary.
It does, doesn't it?
The John Hart weekend.
It sounds like a show I'd watch on TV.
Yeah, exactly.
The contract's out already, yeah. Well, no, it was... the weather was lovely. It was fairly uneventful, you know.
Excellent, I do, trust me, I do recognise that every time I ask people that, you know, how was your weekend? Any plans? What did you do? Blah, blah, blah. It's become an incredibly tough question to answer.
It is, yeah.
Because there's nothing. You have to start, you feel obliged to make stuff up.
There's a bit of that. Like, I was involved with a local GA team, which is kind of kids, you know, which is good for the, you know, mind and body and all that, getting feeling.
Yeah, giving a bit back,
giving
John.
Giving a bit back, running around
from
all
from a
that.
Man who has it all.
Indeed. Wow. Was ever a disproportionate statement ever uttered in Irish radio. Followed that up with some watching some Premier League, and then a bit
of... We don't talk about the Premier League.
No, we
don't actually recognise it on this show.
Oh, sorry, unofficial.
Premier League.
Premier League darts. Sorry,
We don't. Yeah. I mean, there's rumours that there's something called football.
Never heard of it.
But I mean, you know,
association.
Yeah,
something.
Rumours. It goes on. But PJ and myself, we've never been interested, have we?
Isn't it terrible? In fairness, that the one week we don't want to talk about at all is the week when Everton are top of the league.
Yeah. And there you go. James Rodriguez plays for Everton. Did you realise that?
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah,
that is illogical.
I did actually. I saw your game. This football thing you talk about.
Yes,
I saw your chaps in action.
Yes,
over the weekend. Yes, yes. You looked like you knew how to play it.
Yeah.
Then I saw these other chaps who were wearing red. They didn't really look like they knew how to play it at all.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it was just embarrassing.
Red. It's the colour of so many negative things in our lives. Communism, fascism.
Fantastic. I think somewhere with John there's a kindred spirit.
Somewhere, yeah.
Being right. being an Evertonian, being a toffee that he is.
I know.
Our day will come. Who else said that?
Journeys Don't Stop Believing and I Want to Dance with Somebody. Whitney Houston ahead of that. Waking Up Heavy with BJ and Jim on this Monday, 21st of September. Thank you for letting us hang out with you folks. 087-188-0008 if you want to give us a shout. It's almost 18 minutes to 7 o'clock. Thanks for all of the WhatsApps that have been in already. Check this out. Anne and Glass Nevin's been on, PJ.
Yeah.
You know the way John is a toffee. He's an Everton fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Anne says they've got 6 Everton fans in her house in Glasnevin.
Jeepers, that's some going.
That's the entire fan club right there.
Yeah, that's
them and John get together every...
We'll send you John's number so you can bring him around for the weekend.
Just to bring together the whole gang.
The whole gang, get them all together. It's gas, isn't it? So, I mean, there was times we used to laugh at fans like that. We would giggle about fans of clubs like Everton and then you kind of go, right, yes.
But isn't it weird that you don't...
Manchester United, one game in and fighting relegation. You kind of think, yeah, it's not...
Actually, exactly. The saving grace for you is that they're all those 6 of those Everton fans are also Bose fans.
Ah, oh, that's all right, yeah, yeah. Although I've never had any real negative feelings towards Everton.
Not at all, no.
Because they were always as much anti the other lot as anybody else.
That's what I say, kindred spirit.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of, it's like when you go looking for fans of the, let's say, you know, the way there's the usual suspects when it comes to the big clubs, you know, that get supported in Ireland, the Celtics and Liverpools and Uniteds and Arsenals and whatever. And then we found out we've got quite a lot of Villa fans.
We did, yeah, there's always been Villa fans and there's always been loads of Leeds fans.
Obviously there's loads of Leeds fans.
They're all getting old though because it's been a while, you know.
Then we were getting, like, you know, it's good sometimes when you hear the kind of the non-traditional giants of the game.
It is. I remember in primary school, one of the lads I was in school with, I think his name was Malcolm Duggan.
Right.
And he was, our teacher asked him, like, this is in the 80s, who he supported. And he said Everton. And he got asked to leave the class. He was so totally, like, ridiculous if you're going to be stupid.
If you're going to just make up names.
Yeah, he was, like, the poor young fellow was accused of, like, just trying to cause trouble.
It'd be good. I mean, like, I know we have come across, there's been unusual ones before, you know, people have strange kind of connections with things.
Yeah,
like
they do, yeah.
Because you know the way they say you never pick a club, your club picks you.
Kind of, yeah.
Just kind of...
Which is unfortunate, because I'd love to pick a new one now, I'll be honest with you. You know.
But like, you'd wonder if there'd be, you know, say, Nottingham Forest fans from when they...
I know one.
Do you?
Yeah, and he's a Bowes man as well. I know one of them. And yeah. I've no idea how he picked them or anything. Because to the best of my knowledge, he never lived there or had any connection to it.
Yeah.
And it's not like those games were on when we were young every week.
Well, in fairness, when they won the European Cup, it would be.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's very...
Or else if there would be like Ipswich fans... Or
I've met one of them, but he did live there. And in fairness, odd as this, you know, odd, yeah.
I do know one Norwich fan, but again, as you say, he's originally from there.
You see there, so it's not the same, really.
Not quite.
That's why I do feel sorry for when you meet actual English people, you know, who like actual English football. And you meet them in Ireland, and you get talking about football, and you're like, who do you support? And he's like, Darlington. You're like, oh, jeez. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, look at that. You see, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, but again, this chap is English, probably originally from there. English Lee in Limerick.
Yeah.
Supports Reading.
Reading. There you go.
Classic.
Fair play to English Lee. How long has it been since he saw a Reading match, though? You know what I mean? It's been a while. It's
probably, yeah.
Mind you,
fair.
There's a few Irish Sunderland fans, and they wish, imagine having the misfortune to have had that club find you.
Anyway, what else we got? Listen, on the football-y thing, we were talking about Richard Dunne celebrating his birthday today, and Elaine was on to say that apparently Elaine's in Tala, and she said Richard Dunne is from our estate, and he was always sound. Joined in, kicked the ball around with us when we were younger. And Robbie too, that's Robbie Keane.
That's great, isn't it? I love hearing stuff like that.
Two lovely lads, according to Elaine.
I love hearing stuff like that. Yeah. I really do. But Robbie Keane does, in fairness, give off the air of a fella who's very down to earth, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean,
everything
he's ever did has been a dream come true. So you have to give a fella, you know, everything.
Yeah.
It's always been my dream come true to come and play football in a cul-de-sac in Drumlin. You know. So he always goes off that it is everything's the best thing that's ever happened to him, which is the sign of a lovely fella, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
It's always been a dream come true to play on to play a game of curbs while running around the housing estate in Tala.
He does seem genuinely grateful for all the things that have happened to him.
No matter what it is,
In fair, what a career he's had.
If he was in, Subway or something that says, if you want to get a drink with your crisps and your roll, it's cheaper than actually just buying the crisps and the roll. He'd go, oh my God, it's always been a dream come true to get a free drink when I was walking around my hometown. Like, you know, it's a lovely fella.
Oh, brilliant. Look at this. Morris has been on to say that his cousin, Chris Farrell, is a supporter of Luton Town.
Luton Town.
Now, that could be true. I'm not doubting you, Morris, necessarily. Or it could be just another dig at United, because there'll be a lot of Luton supporters tomorrow night, to be fair.
Oh, my God. There will be, yeah.
There'll be a huge... Luton will never have had such big support as they will have tomorrow
night.
It's
like coronavirus for Luton fans. Exponential growth.
Exponential growth.
Out of the woodwork.
Absolutely true. Listen, today for us, the big one is, of course, Double Money Monday. This has been going on for months. Yes, we, like you, are bordering on sick of it. But nonetheless, we would like to give away a phenomenal amount of cash. Today, that is 3,700. Is that what you're talking?
3,700 quid is loads of money. Have a look at classichits.ie. There's so many songs there of people that have guessed the wrong answer. So many.
Yeah.
It's not the Macarena. It's not Voodoo Child. It's not The Power by Snap. It's not Need You Tonight by INXS. It's none of those. But you can see the full list on classichits.ie. So go there and have a look before you
absolutely
have a guess.
Magic Mike has just walked through the door. So if you want to get onto the old WhatsApp, I know we're not going to play for an hour, but if you want to try and get ahead of the game with it being Double Money Monday, you can get the WhatsApps in. Just let us know you want to play. Don't give us your guess. Just let us know you want to play. 087-188-0008. Brand new prize on the breakfast table quiz this week. It's the Celtic Ross Hotel in beautiful West Cork. Idyllic West Cork.
Idyllic West Cork, indeed.
Have you ever rambled in Ross Carberry?
I have not rambled in Ross Carberry.
Well, apparently
they
have a package, a specific package. It's like B&B and a goodie bag and loads of other bits and pieces. I'll tell you about it later. But it's specifically called Rambles in Ross Carberry.
Oh, gently. I'd love that.
Rambling in Ross Carberry is a lovely thing to do.
Oh, it definitely is. Rambling around anywhere is a good idea. Never mind Ross Carberry.
In idyllic West Cork.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Stop.
Fantastic. And has there anything else that has caught your eye so far this morning?
Oh, there's loads going on. There's a Boys Own movie in the works.
No way.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, Boys Own movie. Can you imagine it? I know.
Would you say Keith Duffy's nervous, buddy?
I don't know. My favourite, it's just that it's a biopic, which is grand. I mean, it'd be good. But so I wouldn't be.
Has it been cast yet?
Oh, God. Well, yeah, they're in it.
Oh, I thought you meant it was going to be like about them.
Oh, no, I think they're in it.
Oh, right.
Or maybe it's not. I'll read up a bit more about it.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Isn't it, man?
If they said to the lads, we're making a Boys Own movie. Oh, great. Who's going to play me? You are. What?
What about me?
No, in fairness, we have PJ Gallagher to play you, so you're all right.
I hear you are there. I thought it was going to be like James Bond, but I'm a super agent.
Iron Cara, Flashdance, what a feeling. 80s classic here at Classic Hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Thank you for that on this Monday, 21st of September. Monday, of course, means Double Money Monday on the Hitbit. That's the big one today, and it is big money today. €3,700. We're going to play for it before 8 o'clock this morning. Magic Mike with us all week this week. He's on this side of the world. He's filling in for Mike Boylan, I was going to say.
Mike Boylan, there you go.
It's already started, Michael. It's already started. He's become Mike Boylan. Anyway, listen, Mike is with us, so if you want to let him know that you fancy playing, don't give your guess. Do check out classichits.ie, but do let us know that you want to play 087-188-0008. And just before 7 o'clock there, PJ was telling us about this Boyzone movie.
I tell you.
And I have to say, I'm kind of intrigued.
Yes, and we were a bit confused about it because I said it and gave no information. Is it to be a documentary? Is it to be a proper biopic? Who would be cast? Well, here's the deal. It is a biopic, and it's about the rise of Boyzone from the very beginnings to where they ended up. So Shane Lynch was chatting to, I think it was The Sun actually, he was chatting away with, and he let it slip, and he's saying that details for a movie are on the way, and it would have to focus on them from the very beginning. So they're like working class backgrounds in Ireland, in school and everything.
Yeah.
Jeepers, I wonder if somebody would play me, Jim. I was a year behind Keith Duffy in primary school.
Oh, yeah, well, then you'll definitely be cast. Probably as yourself. Sure, you still maintained your youthful good looks, didn't you?
Yes, I don't know if I quite fit primary school. But I would gladly help in the casting for the person who would play me in the background.
Naturally.
Who would say nothing because I can't say Keith Duffy ever actually knew who I was or anything.
Yeah, you but know. Still, that's not the point. So, sorry, I'm still... I know I'm being obtuse here now.
Yeah.
So, is this documentary style or is it actual drama style?
No, it looks like drama style. They're talking to Hollywood about it.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're actually in talks with people
so
in Hollywood.
So like, it'd be almost like a real life commitment.
Pretty just much.
With
just with no instruments
not,
or anything.
The music not being quite as good. Who said that?
Who was? Get out of here. How dare you? So yeah, so it'd be essentially like that. They were formed in 1993, of course. Stephen Gately in the lineup originally, Louis Walsh the manager. That's
yeah.
We all know the story really, and what happened and where they went to and how big they got.
It would be a very good story, to be
it
fair.
It would be a good story, but it does make you think.
Kind of, it's like it's very much the rags to riches, isn't it? As you say, working class Dublin to kind of, you know, pop supremos.
Oh, I want please everybody cast please. Cast me as Ronan Keating. It's my dream role.
Yeah.
It's the role of a lifetime.
I'm not sure how Ronan himself would feel about that.
Ronan, I do you proud. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
I'll be there now. Obviously, it would have to be you in the future, slightly in the future part of the movie.
Yeah.
When it gets to the end and you're like...
Like, how old were the lads when they started off? All sort of 18, 19? Were
they're all about the same age as me. So, yeah.
Right.
Somebody yeah, 17 yeah. or something like that.
Yeah, but you're nearly 45
well,
now, so.
I am. I'm over 45, closer to 46 than
well,
45.
Yeah, so I don't know if you, you know, can you play 18 or 19?
I'm not sure what you're saying. You said yourself, I'm a youthful, sprightly chap.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you'd walk, no problem with you playing 38, but I'm just saying.
I know. I know. I know, I'm probably not
going. But it'll be interesting. I assume they'll cast not just kind of good actors, but I assume they'll have to be actors who can...
Sing and dance and do all of that sort of
thing. Actually, hang on a second. No, we're talking about Boyzone. They won't actually have to do that. No, but anyway, so like, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It will be interesting.
Although, who can you cast as these people? That's the thing. I mean, they're talking to Hollywood. So it could be like, you know, a series of any actors really who were just, you know, trying to get their Irish accents right and getting them all
no.
wrong. That'd be kind of cool though.
I hope they cast Irish guys to do it.
Yeah, so
you don't want a Tom Cruise episode again.
I kind of love that now. I'd love that. To be honest, watching the history of Boyzone. The Boyzone. It might be called like The Boyzone. You know the way everything sounds slightly yeah. wrong if you put that on it. And you've got like a Tom Cruise type character going, lads, 'twill be a great chance to be infamous of all the time. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And Keith Duffy. And you know the way they only ever know how to do that one Irish accent. Like, they can't do any regional stuff at all.
Right.
You know, so it's like the Dublin accent to be, oh, 'twas some form of torture getting ready for that dancing. Pass me my lucky charms.
Yes.
You know,
you know we're going to meet Gay Byrne.
Yeah, we're going to meet Gay Byrne, so we are. Remember to say top of the morning on the late lating show. Yeah, I know, I don't know.
So when is it, how far before this all comes into play?
We're
and
only
starts
at the beginning.
Okay,
they're only
right.
in talks. They're only in talks with Hollywood. It'd
yeah.
be a great movie though. I'd love to see it, I swear to God. I haven't been to the cinema in years because people can't shut up. But this would be one of those sing-alongs. It'd be like the Irish Mamma Mia, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They should do it in a full musical
though,
style.
It would be good because this, especially this, you know, this amount of years later, you know what I mean? You can actually, you could indulge in it in just like, it would be like trying to recreate to some extent the whole Commitments vibe. You know, working class lads who make it big. Okay,
yeah.
The Commitments didn't quite in the movie make it big. But you know what I mean? These guys actually did.
I know, and the lineup changed and everything as much as well, didn't it? There was a few
well,
other
was,
lads.
At the start, of course, there was the famous one with them.
Mark Dalton was
yeah,
there.
Dickie Rock's young lad.
Yeah, so there's all that. All of
like
that's
that.
Like, they're the lad. That's the movie I want to see. Where are those two lads?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Now you have me interested. Now I want to see it. And it's not even made yet.
All of a sudden I'm mad into this movie. Tom Hardy should play all of them. The whole lot of them. You know the way he did that before? Where he was the two Cray gangsters.
Yeah.
Now if he was all six lads at the start.
He's got to be too busy playing James Bond, apparently.
Nah, I'd lose.
But you're right, if he was given the choice between James Bond and Ronan Keating.
Play 30 different lads who were all in and out of Boyzone over the years. That's the movie I want to see, all Tom Hardy.
Guaranteed Irish Boyzone, picture of you from the Mr. Bean movie. Of course, maybe in the not too distant future, it'll be from the Boyzone movie itself.
I'm telling you.
We'll be talking about that one. Anyway, listen, 18 minutes past 7 o'clock, just on the Boyzone movie, Ronan in Bray has been on to say, just get Paul Mescal to play all five of the lads.
Paul Mescal, yeah. He is
the man of the moment.
He is the man of the hour, yeah, of course he is. He could definitely, he'd be a good Ronan. In fairness, when you look at his head, there's a crossover.
Do you reckon?
Well, maybe I'm just looking at his pliable acting face and thinking it could fit in anywhere.
What about one of the young lads from Young Offenders? Could they perfect a Dublin accent, do you think?
Of course they could, no problem, yeah.
What's his name? Not Chris.
Alex.
Alex maybe as a Stephen Gately?
He'd be a brilliant Stephen Gately. He would be a brilliant Stephen Gately.
Maybe.
He does the Dublin accent perfect. And the boy can sing and dance, let me tell you.
Yeah.
He can.
There you go.
He'd be very
That's
good.
Possible. I was actually
Mind
thinking,
you,
though.
He's probably sitting there going, I'm not... Way! Stop putting me forward for this.
I was just wondering whether... Would I get a chance to play myself, maybe? I'm trying to think, was I on radio when Boyzone started?
Oh, you definitely were. Ash, you were on radio when Buddy Holly started, man. You'll be flying.
I can't believe I set these up for him to knock them down.
You'll be flying.
Talk about feeding a man a line. But anyway, no. But you know, like I wonder where I was. Did I, you know? Because I remember, I remember when Westlife started. I remember interviewing Westlife when they were nobodies. But Boyzone, not so much.
Well, Westlife first. Who was first, Westlife or Boyzone?
Boyzone by a long stretch.
Oh, were they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course they were. So Ronan started Westlife. Yeah. Ronan started Westlife. He was part of it at the beginning, wasn't he?
Yeah.
There's that famous interview with him going, remember that one?
Wow.
Yeah.
What was he? That was Morse code or something, wasn't it? Yeah.
And everyone was going, yeah, gee, what Ronan said about Westlife. And he says, yeah, but I didn't understand it. Don't worry. My elephant was in the army. He said, he hopes that they get on really well. That's what it was.
80s classic from the Eurythmics, Sweet Dreams. Here are Classic Hits, almost 22 minutes to 8 o'clock. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Listen, before we go on, PJ, I cannot believe when we were talking about the Boyzone movie, the movie that will be made about the life and times of Boyzone, their rise from rags to riches and all that sort of stuff. And we were talking about the casting.
We were.
Cannot believe we missed the most obvious casting.
Who's that?
You!
What are
you? As Louis Walsh!
Oh my gosh.
You are Louis. I mean, how many times on this show, Michael, have we spoken about PJ looking, being an absolute dead ringer, separated at birth from Louis Walsh?
Oh no.
He's an absolute ringer.
Absolute ringer. You come from Mayo.
I do not you know what really. I mean?
Come you from. You can do the voice.
You can do the voice.
I can't.
Do your
not
Louis
really.
Come on, do your Louis voice.
I can't do
you
it.
You can do it.
You're absolutely brilliant. Look at the head on you. You're going to be a star.
Perfect. My God, we found him. Ladies and gentlemen, we have officially cast the first role in the Boyzone movie. It is PJ Gallagher. PJ Gallagher as Louis Walsh.
Oh my God, it is disturbing how much I look like the man. I have to be honest with you. Yeah. It's unsettling.
Now, I mean, look, at only for the fact that I'm a really good friend of yours, I would plaster that all over social media now. I'm just saying, Michael.
Right, so Mike is doing it. Just basically,
I wouldn't be me. I wouldn't be doing that, putting that up everywhere that, you know, you're going to play Louis Walsh in the Boyzone movie.
No, but you would give the idea to somebody who's doing it as we speak.
No,
right?
Because I am a friend of yours.
Well, I don't think you are. You're starting to feel more like family, Jim, which explains exactly where we're going with this story. Because people are happier. They've done this survey. People are happier when they're with their friends than when they are in the company of their partner or their children or basically anyone they're related to. What a surprise. What a surprise.
This isn't exactly new research to you, is it?
Not to me, no. I've been harping on about the lack of benefits when it comes to families for a long, long time. In fact, there's very few places I'd rather be than hanging around with me. Very few places I'd rather be. Oh, yeah, no. The very few places I'd rather less be. You know what I'm trying to say. God almighty. I'm not a family person. I think it's safe to say that much.
Yeah, no, so, I don't think anybody who's a regular listener to this show could ever have assumed that you were somebody who wallowed in the bosom of your family and enjoyed it.
It can never just be crack, can it? It can never just be fun. This is no wonder this is what it is. They asked 400 people how much they'd rank, how much they enjoy certain occasions and who they'd like to be with. Surprise, surprise, no one wants to be with their family. Remember, well, some people do. Oddballs do. Weirdos like you and all. Yeah, I like my family. They're all right and everything. My sons are lovely lads. Oh, weirdo. But most of us, I think, are grand. Trying to keep a bit of distance between our family and other people. I liked it the old days.
I mean, so you're saying that they've now proven that the old adage of kind of pick your friends, you can't pick your family.
It's true.
Has come true.
And the reason, they said, the questionnaires reveal that you spend time with your romantic partner, and that scores the lowest out of all three groups, by the way.
Oh my God.
And why is it scored the lowest? Because it inevitably goes to, well, did you pay the bills, or did we do the thing, or we must get to that job, or what? Who's, are you cooking? Oh my God. Never happens with your friends. These are questions and conversations you never have with the people you chose to have in your life.
Right.
You're dead right. It's all about the choosing. You know what I mean? I've never sat there with me mates and me mates going, no, come here, listen.
did you take the bins out?
Did you take the bins? Well, mind your own business.
Yeah.
Mind your own business.
Did you wash this morning?
No, what? I didn't wash this week. And what's it to you?
Do you not think your hair is getting a bit long now?
Imagine.
Could you do it getting a cut?
What's that smell?
Imagine if you did sit with your mates.
I know, and they start doing that. They're going, oh my. What would you say, though? You'd be like, what, are we in a relationship all of a sudden? Because you'd know that was a step
because
backwards.
The classic thing for most lads, if somebody was to say that to you, if your mate was to say that to you, the response would probably, who are you, me ma?
Yeah, who are you, me ma? Yeah. Compare it to someone in your family.
Exactly.
That's what you do. Comparing some degree of hassle would be compared directly back to the family in some way. Yeah. You know what I mean? You look forward to seeing your friends. It takes a funeral to see your family most of the time. Like,
oh my God.
Do you know, it's something like that you go, oh my God, I have to do this thing, isn't it? Oh, I have to do this thing now. I have to go out and see all these people. I haven't seen them in years. God, oh my. You know, it's always, well, for me, it's always a drag anyway. Whereas hanging out with friends, although, you know, something that's a bit hard as well sometimes. You know,
is anybody else starting to see a common theme here, really, where it's just people, really, isn't
it? And then the phone never stops ringing. And then,
I mean, if you had, it's kind of like, as again, regular listeners to this show will know, you know, if you had an uncle or an aunt or a cousin or a brother or a sister or anything who was maybe a Labrador, you'd probably
love them. Spent the whole week with the dogs. It was great. You know you're an antisocial person, right, when this happens. This happened to me over the weekend. This is how I knew. This confirmed the antisocialness of it, right?
Right.
So my phone went, bing, a text message. And I was like, oh, for God's sake. And then another one, bing. I was like, who's that now looking to annoy me? And I picked it up, right?
Yeah.
And it was two messages from Revolut saying it was paying bills without asking me. And guess what I said?
What?
I said, oh, thank God for that. I thought someone was looking for me.
Classic hits.
And now, the Hit Bit with Supermax, home of the deliciously fresh chicken breast sandwich. Always a hit.
Hit Bit. It's a bit of a really famous hit. It's a bit, just a bit from a classic hit. But what hit is it?
Hit Bit. The Hit Bit is worth an outrageous pile of money today. It's worth 3,700 quid. Here's what it sounds like. And that's the last time you hear it before we get into it. Sylvia Flynn is going to have a go first this morning, who is sitting on the outside of an airplane. How are you, Sylvia? How are you getting on?
I'm grand. I may as well be on the outside of an airplane with the fog.
What road are you on, or where are you? Where are you going?
I'm just going through the car at the minute, so I'd be always around there.
The Cora?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
I thought you said, oh, the fog has just gone through the car at the moment. I was like, all right.
Close the windows.
I said, yeah, close the windows. No wonder we can hear everything. Did you have a decent weekend, Sylvia?
Yeah, great weekend, yeah, with family. That was fun.
Right, good stuff. Well, let's try and get the fog out of your car, get you some sort of device or whatever you need to buy.
Let's try and get you a car with windows.
Yeah.
All that in my brain.
Right, tell us what you think it is, Sylvia.
Is it these boots are made for walking?
Oh, these boots are made
of God.
Walker.
An oldie. Is that like Nancy Sinatra or something? Or
Nancy Sinatra did it and Jessica Simpson did it.
Ah, right, okay. The old remakes. Well, what do you think, Michael?
Okay, well, clearly you don't have the foggiest. It is wrong, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Sylvia.
I just keep walking.
Yay! Hey. Listen, take care. Safe driving, Sylvia.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
See you, Sylvia. That song gives me nightmares, you know. I was in a show, that song that Boots Made for Walking. I was in a show called Singlehood, and I had to do a dance routine to that song. And I swear to God, Jim, you know the way I can't really walk out of here without hitting walls and stuff? It was the most embarrassing.
Please tell me there's footage of you dancing.
Oh, there is, yeah.
Is there?
Yeah, you'll never see it because I'll, you know. I'd literally pay 3,700 quid to get rid of it. But it was the most embarrassing 2 weeks of my life doing that show. Patricia is on the other line. Hey, Patricia.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Very good. Patricia, what about you? What are you up to today?
Today, I will be heading off to my Forever Young fitness class.
Oh, very good.
Forever Young fitness class.
Oh, yes. It's for us mature ladies.
Excellent. Oh, brilliant. Yeah, it's gas how many people are moving and all again this time, isn't it? Around these times.
How many people are moving?
Yeah, people are really moving that were never moving before. Like, yeah. I'm telling
you. What do you mean? Like, in your past, people just didn't move.
They didn't move. They used to sit down watching telly or go to work or sedentary lifestyles. The one good thing that's happened lately is everybody's moving.
Suddenly, yeah.
Yeah,
when they're told to stay still.
Everybody's wiggling their bits for the good of their health.
Anyway, listen, enjoy that, Patricia. Hopefully we can send you there with a few quid in your pocket. What are you going to go for?
I am going for my son Christopher's guest.
Okay.
Natalie Imbruglia. Torn.
Right. Okay.
I'm torn. sorry about that. I'm torn between, you know, telling you bluntly or dragging this out. I think I'm going to drag it out. No, it's wrong.
Oh, unlucky, Patricia.
Never mind.
Take care of yourself. Thanks a million for having a guest. Cheers. Right. Bye-bye now.
Enjoy moving around later on, Patricia.
Right, it's our own magic. You're doing it later on yourself, Michael, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing it again. Yeah, I'm on for Niall this week, yeah.
So will you be doing puns on your own show?
Well, I do attempt them if I can think of them, if I'm not too much under pressure. So we'll see how it goes.
Excellent, okay.
I love that. I love the way, like, you... You know, that must be weird though if your pun doesn't work and there's no one to bail you out on the
That's
on the
worst
show.
Thing. At least you can either abuse me or laugh at me.
Exactly.
In that I get nothing.
But if you get the tumbleweed effect, that's the worst possible scenario.
Okay, coming up next.
Right, listen, on the way after 8, we'll give you a shot at the breakfast table quiz. Yeah, the Shoop Shoop song from Cher. Here are classic hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. It's 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, 21st of September. Thanks for hanging out with us, folks. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim this morning. 087-188-0008. Still to come, the breakfast table quiz this hour. We've got a fantastic break to the Celtic Ross Hotel in the idyllic West Cork. That's to come first day to play, of course, in the breakfast table quiz, so there'll be nothing to beat. If you want to get involved, you can let Magic Mike know that you want to play. 087-188-0008. But in the meantime,
yes.
Okay, it's time to reveal a title. I know that PJ Gallagher, of course, will very soon, and we will speak about it a lot over the next couple of weeks. He will go for the world record attempt on the Jaffa cake eating.
17 in 1 minute is
challenge
the record.
Thing.
I'm going to go for it in training as we speak.
But it might be hard for to top this title of the most boring man in the world.
The most boring man in the world. Officially the dullest man in Britain, but now going for the most boring man in the world, even though that's not the aim. He obviously doesn't think his endeavours are completely boring, but he's also somehow self-aware. A guy called Kevin Beresford. He's famous, apparently, for travelling the length and breadth of Britain to take pictures and document their roundabouts. He's the chairman of the Roundabout Society of Britain.
Wow, it's scary that there is a Roundabout Society of Britain.
A Roundabout Society of Britain, and they've been in absolute turmoil over the last 12 months as they tried to name and find Britain's best roundabout. The world's best roundabout, but beg your pardon. And the trouble it's caused, splits. There's been roundabout factions, there's breakaways from the roundabout society, all of this sort of crack.
What's a split from a roundabout? What's that called?
A junction, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just going to say. They're at a crossroads as to
how. So there's now the Crossroads Society, which actually aren't into crossroads. They're actually into roundabouts.
Imagine that if the roundabout society was at a crossroads.
They were at a serious crossroads. They had a heated debate. the other night to decide what is the best roundabout in the world, and it came down to all kinds of trouble. Like, so they've been making calendars since 2016 about the roundabouts of Britain, but to make the world
calendars about the roundabouts of Britain.
Yeah, the pictures. Yeah, so you know, you go through the calendars and you see all the different roundabouts, the selected roundabouts.
I'm a very big fan of July.
Yeah, very big fan of July. Yeah, yeah, of course. And of course, Kevin has gone and he's seen some of the best roundabouts in the world. He's seen the best roundabouts in the world. He goes on to talk about, apparently he was so into his roundabouts and he became so famous in his area, he ended up on the Graham Norton show. And when he ended up on the Graham Norton show...
What?
Yeah. As the most dull man in the world, like, you know, Graham Norton.
And he loves this. He loves celebrating the fact that he's the dullest man on the planet.
No, he doesn't. But, you see, he did see it as a chance to share his passion for roundabouts.
Right.
And he did. He did do it. And he goes on. He went on Graham Norton. He explained how his favourite roundabouts are from the West Midlands, include Spitfire Island is one of them. Castle Bromwich has a great roundabout, he says. And there's a lovely one in Tewkesbury, he says, with a wooden horse on it. And he says, he says it's absolutely beautiful. And now he's taken his love around to the global stage, and after a huge debate in which nearly split the society in half, I once again want to add it was a big debate in a pub in Redditch, they have now named the best roundabout in the world as one in Canberra, Australia. It was painted the colours of the rainbow to mark the marriage equality vote, and he says it's absolutely brilliant. Spiffing is what he says.
Spiffing,
one of the best roundabouts ever. And it's now made him say, why should I be limited in my passions? If it's come to this, if we've found the best roundabout in the world, why should I not go on to my other passion in life? His other passion in life is multi-story car parks.
Of course
and
it is.
And now he's trying to found the multi-story car park appreciation society, which he's finding difficult to find members for.
No way.
Yeah, he's
really?
Just he goes, in fairness to him, he says, everybody loves a roundabout, of course.
Of course.
But he says, for some reason... multi-story car parks just don't have the same sort of fan base, and it's just very disappointing.
It's like fine wines.
It is.
I mean, you get a lot of people who are easy. You know, the easy access is the new world wines, but when you want to go for the high end French stuff,
yeah,
it's an acquired taste. Similar with multi-story car parks,
and he says it.
You know, you kind of have to feed in on the roundabout level and then move on.
I know, and then he makes a good point. He goes, like, why? Why do you have to go like that? Why does it have to be the development process? Car parks are so interesting. He goes, if things happen if people make movies, for example, in the likes of Wicklow's Glen or something, it becomes a famous place to go and see where they made the movie. He goes, he's found two car parks. One, train spotting was a scene made in it. He's found another one where a Michael Caine movie... which I've forgotten the name of, because even I'm
the Italian Job, maybe. Or?
No, it's different. Yeah, right, no, okay. It's just Get Carter.
Get Carter.
That Get
right,
Carter
very good.
Was made in. So even I'm struggling to stay interested in this man's hobbies at the moment. And he says that there's not even a mention of it on these car parks.
So he would like there to be a tour similar to, because there's a movie tour you can do around locations that were filmed. Lots of stuff was filmed around Wicklow, and you can do Excalibur and all these kind of stuff
very
and whatever.
Good, yeah.
So he'd like that to be the case for multi-story car parks.
He would, yeah, yeah. Well, he's saying at least a plaque or something that would draw tourists to the car parks. You know, so you could, it becomes of some
draw
historical...
tourists.
Yeah, you get some historical significance to it. His other passion is football
this
statues.
This guy sounds like a fantastic guy to go and have a pint with.
Yeah, he loves football statues as well. He loves them. He's not into football at all, but he loves
just
football
statues.
Yeah, yeah. So you can imagine the crack he could have now.
So he's the chairman of the Roundabout
Society of Great Britain.
He's the founder of the Multi-Story Car Park Appreciation.
And only member today.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's also just, you know, so when all of that excitement gets too much for him, he goes and he looks at
statues.
The most boring man in the world, Kevin Beresford, delighted with himself. Imagine him born in the years off you. He's the fella down the pub, isn't it?
Absolutely. Told him if anybody can offer up somebody who could challenge that level of boringness.
There's definitely people around Redditch going, thank God the pubs aren't open. Like at least I could go 5 seconds without man harping on about his football statue.
I'm still kind of intrigued though by the Roundabout Appreciation Society and the fact that there was
a huge split.
They were at
debate.
A crossroads. There was such a big debate about, you know, when they came to nominating the greatest ever roundabout, because you can imagine them having the conversation roundabout comes up in front of them, okay, picture of a roundabout. What do we think of this? Oh, I think that's absolutely fantastic. I love the way what they've done there or whatever. What do you think, Tony? I think it's a bit middle of the road. Queen's Radio Gaga, 20 past 8 here at Classic Hits. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Thanks for all the WhatsApps as well, 087-188-0008, if you want to give us a shout. Midge was on to say that guy we've just been talking about, that guy who is the dullest man we think in the world.
Kevin, yeah.
Yeah, chairman of the Roundabout Appreciation Society of Britain, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Apparently, according to Midge, he was also on Judge Rinder. You know the way he said he appeared on Graham Norton?
Yeah.
Apparently he was on Judge Rinder. A case was brought against him.
Get out of it.
From a guy whose passion is road signs.
Stop.
And was supposed to feature in a calendar as December, but was put in as month 13.
Month 13?
Yeah. Judge Rinder couldn't keep a straight face. And nor could the... I'm not surprised. That's incredible. A guy who's into road signs bringing a case against a guy who's into roundabouts.
About roundabouts.
Because he wasn't featured in the appropriate month in the calendar.
I'm getting so upset about it, you go legal on it.
Legal. Televised legal.
Isn't that incredible? Like, incredible. You know, I suppose a man and his passions will be. They're not easily parted.
Not at all. Fred says, that's the type of guy I get stuck beside every time I go on a plane. That would be a nightmare, wouldn't it? Transatlantic flight or something. Or fly to Australia or somewhere.
I know.
And this guy says, do you like roundabouts at all?
What?
Sorry, they're okay. It's just that I happen to be the chairman of the Roundabout Appreciation Society of Britain.
Oh, my God. I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack. Can somebody help, please?
Also, let me see. Fintan's been on to say, lads, I was at that meeting in Redditch. And the only reason it got so heated was the committee were dragging their heels and they just kept going around in circles. Come on! Thank you very much indeed. There's a lot of that going on. Somebody else was saying a multi-story car park society is wrong on so many levels. Says Paddy in Cork. Somebody else has been on to say multi-story car park society. That's on a different level altogether from William Churchill.
There's going to be loads of them.
Absolutely. There's loads of them coming in. 087-188-0008, by the way, if you want to give us a shout. 8:22, we still have the breakfast table quiz to look forward to. It's a fantastic break in the Celtic Ross Hotel. That's what we have in the idyllic West Cork. You can, I don't know if there's any roundabouts, but you can ramble in Roscarbery, because that's one of their packages, rambles in Roscarbery. Nice prize.
It sounds amazing. Yeah, anything in West Cork is grand. Anything is, even a West Cork roundabout would be absolutely tremendous to get your eyes set onto it. So a ramble around Roscarbery is the job.
Sounds fantastic. Nothing to beat on a Monday. So if you want to let Magic Mike know that you want to play, feel free. 087-188-0008. Mind you, Jay has been on to say that apparently the roundabouts at the Curragh are only wonderful.
It's brilliant the way some people are, actually. It's great, actually, in fairness. We're all laughing and everything. Mm. And in fairness, getting this carried away with roundabouts, you'd have to wonder what the fuss is about. But secretly, all of us are going, I will say, there is a lovely roundabout there now in Strabane.
Just out of curiosity, did the Red Cow get a mention?
The Red Cow, no, it didn't get a mention.
I know it's not in Britain, but if they were doing ones of the world.
Ones of the world, sure. It was Australia that won it. No, there's no mention of Irish roundabouts at all. Once again.
Oppression, that's what that is.
Ignored by Britain once again. They really just can't, you know, they just can't view us as equals at all.
Yeah, the Police, Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic here at Classic. It's 22 minutes to 9 o'clock. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Final call on the breakfast table quiz. Day one, nothing on the board, no score to beat. Chance to set the bar for everyone else. 087-188-0008. Let Magic Mike know if you want to play. He's with us all this week. Staying on this side of the pond. This side of the pond.
There is no pond.
This side of the country.
The other side of the pond is the Aran Islands.
Exactly. Anyway, he's with us all this week. He's filling in for Niall Boylan a bit later on as well through the course of the week. But with us today, standing by WhatsApp 087-188-0008 if you want to give us a shout. And let us know if you fancy playing at the breakfast table quiz. Fantastic break at the Celtic Ross Hotel up for grabs. Now, if you're trying to find, potential silver linings to this pandemic cloud that has been hovering over us forever and ever and ever, PJ has his own personal particular silver lining. One of them being the fact that you know, weddings don't really aren't taking place quite as much as they would normally do.
Yeah, true enough. And lucky enough, I've isolated myself socially to the point that I get left out of most wedding invitations. But yeah,
which is your preference? No,
which is my preference. Yeah. Let's be quite honest about it. But you might have seen this. This is this thing. It's going around. It was on Reddit. You know the big website Reddit. Mm. It's been going around. Somebody got an invite to a wedding, right? And they took a picture of it and sort of asked the question, does anyone else think this is outrageous? So basically the deal is this. The person that's holding the wedding has decided in their wisdom that, you know something, sometimes some people give a little bit more than other people.
Yeah.
And it's not fair they get the same 5-star wedding treatment. So we're going to have different little levels. So here's what we're going to do. So she sent out this invitation. And it says, so that we may prepare your preferred dinner, please circle the gift level you are going to give us and indicate the meal choice associated with that level. So in other words, she's broken it down into 4 simple sort of menus, I suppose.
Right.
And you choose which you're going to get, with how much money you're going to give them, and they choose what food will be available to you. That's the way they've done it.
It's tiered.
It's tiered.
Because we had one of these before, didn't we, where there was, it was something about like, they had kind of waiting lists.
That was right.
For guests,
yeah.
And stuff. Like, yeah, you know, you'll be level 1. If level 1 says no,
yeah, so
then we'll allow level 2's first refusal.
You can step up, but if you're level 3, yeah, you have to wait for 2 people.
So this is going even further. This is now based on the level of your gift will dictate how much you enjoy the hospitality.
Isn't this gone? This is crazy. Like, I think people forget that someone else going to your wedding, they're actually doing you a favour.
Exactly.
It costs so much money to go to somebody else's big day.
Yeah.
And here's the 4 tiers. So it's broken down into loving gift, silver gift, golden gift, and platinum gift. The lowest of which, of course, is the loving gift. Love is last. In a financial situation like this, love comes last. So if you give up to 250 quid, not small money, you get a choice between roast chicken and swordfish. Right? That's it.
Is that the lowest level?
That's the lowest level.
So up to 250.
Yeah, it's America.
You get a chicken dinner.
$250, right? So you get chicken or swordfish. If you give over that, if you give between 250 and 500, you get either the above choices, you can still choose them, or you can also have the added sliced steak or poached salmon, right? They add it to your menu. If you give between 500 and 1,000, who in the name of holy smoke gives this kind of level of a gift at a wedding? Honest to God. Then you get all the above choices again, or filet mignon or lobster tails, right? If you choose to give between $1,000 and $2,500, well, then you're a mental case anyway. You shouldn't be out anyway. You shouldn't be out in public if you're giving that sign of money to someone. Then you get all the above choices or a £2 lobster. Imagine sitting at a table eating a £2 lobster while the fella next to you has a snack box. Honest to God.
He's having a chicken wing.
He's there with a thing of chips. Gave him a few quid, did you? Yeah. Fair play to you.
That's incredible.
And you also get to keep a souvenir champagne goblet. Also, by the way, if you don't give between $1,000 and $2,500, there's no vegetarian choices. You get some vegetarian choices once you're in that top platinum tier.
Oh my God.
But if you're a vegetarian who is only giving like something measly, like, I don't know, 900 quid, then you're not allowed to have.
Then you literally can. We can have the side dish. You can have the chips or the rice on their own.
You can sniff the chicken and eat the chips, and that's it. That's all you can do. It's outrageous. It really is outrageous.
Oh my God.
The favour of your apply is requested by the 13th of September, is written on the bottom, but they didn't even put it in numbers. They spelt it out. They're too posh for numbers, these people. I don't know, man.
It's getting worse.
It's getting worse. Imagine.
I mean, remember, there used to be a bit of an outrage about the idea of putting a gift list.
I thought that was a great idea.
In
I
places.
Love that.
Yeah.
Are you talking about
the idea was that, like, because you know, depending on, as you say, depending on what people are expecting to pay, I suppose if there's a decent enough choice. But if you go in late and all the toasters are gone,
I know that's the
and
thing.
You're suddenly left with like, yes, the other thing we'd like is an 84-inch widescreen TV, ultra HD.
That's why I went to a wedding once. I told you about the wedding here before I went to it. It was like Catholic Protestant mixed wedding. It was gas. There was all sorts of commotion during the ceremony. It was all that they had a wedding list. And it was very broke at the time. I went to everything off the cheap end of the list was gone. I was there. Just give us one of them anyway. I'll take it anyway.
So in other words, just give us an extra wooden spoon.
I'm just going to get two of them and then they'll think I bought it first.
Breakfast Table Quiz.
It's time for the Breakfast Table Quiz. Win the best prize out there is. Try to get the biggest score. Hope the next call gets the point. It's the Breakfast Table Quiz.
The Breakfast Table Quiz with Kilmartin Educational Services. In class or online, learn and revise safely and get ahead with Julie's. CKES.ie.
So this week it is the chance to win a stay at the Celtic Ross Hotel in the heart of idyllic West Cork. It's their Rambles in Ross Carbery package. It includes two nights bed and breakfast. And you get a goodie bag on arrival containing all the information you're going to need to enjoy all the many beautiful walks around West Cork. And they will give you a beautiful packed lunch for you to enjoy when you find that perfect scenic spot during your ramble. If you want to find out more, CelticRossHotel.com is the website. That will tell you everything you need to know. CelticRossHotel.com. And they were actually named one of Ireland's top 100 places to stay in the McKenna Guide for 2020. So that's pretty impressive, isn't it?
No mean feat. No mean feat at all. And of course, we want to send you there this week. And Monday players get to set the standard for everybody else. And it's going to be Eamon O'Callaghan, who's in County Clare this morning. How are you, Eamon?
All right, Bridget.
How's it going with you, Eamon? How was your weekend?
Good, yeah. Good weather, everything good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think, what's it like in the West today? Because it's supposed to be a belter for us.
Yeah, it's lovely. Lovely, pure blue skies, no clouds whatsoever.
Happy days.
Very, very nice. Very, very
happy
nice.
Happy days.
Listen, I say Eamon, it's delighted as well. There's no dubs out there now to enjoy as well.
Yeah, blue skies and dub free.
Yeah, yeah.
Eamon, listen, the very best of luck with this. We've got no score for you to beat, so you'll be the man setting the standard for the rest of the week. We've got 60 seconds for you to do the best you can. Ah, you'll be fantastic.
You'll be fantastic.
Right, PJ, good to go?
Good to go.
Eamon, the very best of luck. Here we go.
What is Phil Taylor famous for playing?
Nuker.
Darts, who is Donald Trump's vice president?
Melanie.
Mike Pence, which nuts are used in marzipan?
Pass.
Almonds, what is the Japanese sake made from?
Gluten.
Rice, in what TV series is Westeros a place?
Repeat that, PJ.
Westeros, where is Westeros? What TV show?
Pass.
Game of Thrones, what was Britney Spears' first single called?
Hit me one more time.
That's the one. What is the real name of U2's guitarist, The Edge?
Adam Clayton.
David Evans, what year was the Premier League founded?
1983.
1992. Wayne Rooney played for what international side?
England.
What singer was known as the King of Pop?
Prince.
Michael Jackson. What is a baby elephant called?
Bat.
It's a calf. What is the main ingredient in black pudding?
Blood.
It is blood. Yeah, it is.
Well done indeed. Right, okay. That was a few tricky ones to start the ball rolling, to be fair. Eamon, you ended up with a score of 3. thank God that's the reaction we were hoping for.
That was great, Craig.
Well
send
done,
out,
Eamon.
Send us out an old mug, lad.
I'll tell you something, we'll put your case to Mike for the old ugly mug consolation prize.
To, yeah, I think so.
Listen, Eamon, you have a fantastic day. Take care of yourself.
You too. Fair
cheers.
Fair. See you, Eamon. Have a good one. Thanks.
Yes. So much to mull over there.
So much to think about. I tell you something, a fair play to him for having a laugh. That's the sound man he is.
That is exactly the way you should approach the Breakfast Table Quiz. Yeah, Lionel Richie dancing on the ceiling here at Classic Hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Thank you for that. 23 minutes to 10 o'clock. Monday, 21st of September. Looks like it's going to be a good one today. They're predicting blue skies.
Yay!
And highs up there getting close to 20 degrees. Maybe topping it in some places around the place. Who knows?
What a day.
Might be a day for a bit of al fresco dining.
Al fresco dining, indeed. One of my favourite things to do. In fact, I'm lucky, isn't it? Seeing as though I'm the only one here that works or that lives in Dublin now. And that I have to, I've no choice but to have al fresco dining.
Oh, you? Yeah.
No, I mean,
technically, you could eat in your house, PJ. But, you know.
Oh, that's not what we're talking about. I know, yeah, I'm trying to play the victim here because I know that yourself and Mike and John Hart, how did that end up to happening? That I'm the only one here that's in the colony, that we'll call it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The COVID colony that we are currently. The old COVID colony.
And I want you to stay there now, right? No breaking out.
Don't you worry.
No deciding to visit or anything.
Sneaking into the boot of your car and all to get into Wicklow.
But it would be a good day, actually. Today looks like it could be the best day of. I mean, obviously, it would have been far better if it had have fallen on an actual weekend day.
I know, today, but look, sure, whatever. Monday and all of that crap.
Although, to be honest with you, for a lot of people, it won't matter. There's still a lot of people whose kind of schedules are all over the place.
Well, there's definitely an awful lot of work from homers that have pushed the office into the garden today, that's for sure, no doubt about it. And if you are making food, this is the thing. So apparently, you know the way you eat your, you ever make food and then the next day you go back to it and you go, Jesus, I had no idea that was so good. You know the way where you feel like you took it for granted the day before.
Yeah, it depends on what it is.
Well, it depends on what it is.
You're talking about, say, making sandwiches out of a joint that you had over, you know, a roast joint or something.
No.
You're talking about actual,
I'm not talking about the cheapers.
Piece of lasagna that wasn't eaten. Or the
curry or something. No, not going back and saying, Jabers, that sandwich I threw in the bin yesterday, actually, probably not as bad as I thought it was. And going and rooting in the bin. Or taking a pizza slice out and plucking off the cigarette butts and all. No,
actually,
I'm not talking about that.
Pizza is a famous one, isn't it?
Pizza's famously better the next day. I've no idea. What a cold pizza as well is always... There's something...
I have to confess, I've never tried that.
Never?
Not cold pizza.
You've never had a cold pizza?
No.
Jim,
that actually does. Listening to you talk about it doesn't float my boat
Jim,
at all.
Jim, you're missing out. Now the whole thing about a cold pizza, though, it's not something you would wake up and have. You need to have had extraneous circumstances. So you need to have been indulging in fizzy drinks, maybe, or something like
right.
that the night before.
So you need to not be in the fullness of your health
to enjoy it. Yeah,
right.
Something like, you know, it's that type of a thing.
Gotcha.
But oh my God, Jim, next time, oh my, I'll send it to you. I can't deliver it. I'm not allowed out of Dublin. I'll send you a piece. I'll have it sent to you.
Post it to me.
I'll have it sent to you at midnight and it'll be there the next morning for you. Perfect.
Brilliant.
But you know the way, like certain things, like when me and Elaine were still together, she used to make this chili con carne thing.
Yeah.
And I'd nearly get a takeaway the day she made it if it wasn't such an insult. Because the following day, it was 10 times better than the night
it was made. I was about to say that to you. There are people who create pots of things.
Yeah.
Right? Chili would be a great example.
Brilliant.
And you can it could stay in the pot for a few days.
You'd get 12 months out of it.
And you kind of just, you know, you can sort of serve yourself.
Just heat it up.
Do you know what else is, and I know you hate this as a food, but it actually works with this as well. Coddle is a great thing for... a really good coddle just improves a little bit as the days go by.
Oh my God, you're back to the sandwich in the bin now.
It's a magnificent creation.
I want to take the sandwich out of the bin. Oh, disgusting. Oh my God.
But it is a strange phenomenon. I suppose it's like flavours infused
and
stuff.
That's what it is. That's what it is. So some people thought
it's like
it was
a marinade
in their head. It's essentially that the meats absorb the sauces, the flavour gets more intense. If you have stuff like that, like a rice-based dish, it soaks up more and more, becomes more flavoursome as it goes on. You start to be able to not be able to discern the individual tastes. So you know the way you see chefs and they're like, yes, I'm getting a bit of pepper and a bit of honey and a bit of bin sandwich off that. You know, you start to be unable to do that as it all just gets one flavour over time. And that's why your dishes, certain dishes, become better the longer you leave them. So I can't wait to leave a sandwich out for a couple of weeks.
Does it give any kind of top? Like, what does it say? What dishes are
it does, yes.
best served
so,
the following?
So curries, like I said, I'd agree with that. Spaghetti bolognese, believe it or not. If you can leave that for a couple of days, gets more
bolognese,
and more.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, a bolognese kind of thing, chili thing, yeah, I get that.
Well, I'm surprised with that. A bolognese to me is an open, saucy sandwich. I wouldn't have thought it would last very long, to be honest. I would have thought pasta and all. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, no, sorry, I wouldn't be. I mean, I'm assuming it's just the bolognese, the mince and the sauce and everything, do fresh pasta with it.
Oh, that's what they mean, is it?
Well, that's what I'd go for.
Of course, that's what they mean.
You couldn't eat day-old pasta, could
you? That's what I've been reading this.
Although, what am I saying? I've just said a minute ago, lasagna often tastes better the following day. Well, look, if you're going to pick me up on everything I say...
Well, if we're going to do that, then there's no point to either of us coming in. If we start any one story and don't contradict ourselves completely by the end of it, we're probably not well.
Yeah, we failed.
And of course, stews. The longer you leave a stew, that makes perfect sense.
Stew, brackets, coddle, end brackets.
No way, you can't. The reason that coddle isn't called a stew is because it's disgusting. That's how you differentiate. How is this a good coddle? Is this a good stew or is it a coddle? No, that's a coddle. Boiled sausages, man. Boiled ham and all. Oh, jeepers. There's nothing as disgusting as that.
Delicious.
Absolutely disgusting.
Somebody saying spag ball and lasagna are fantastic the next day. Amazing.
They really are, yeah. Some stuff just is better the longer you leave it. But like, I don't know what...
Especially you, because you've regular listeners to this show will know that you have a big issue with best before dates and use by dates and all these kind of things. Like,
I've
when
no
it comes
issue
to
with them at all. It's quite
you
the
just ignore them.
I completely ignore them. Pays no attention to it. I have a chicken breast for me dinner today that went off last Thursday, and I don't care at all about it. I'm going to enjoy every bit of them.
Somebody's saying Singapore chow mein the next day on two slices of cold toast with mayonnaise.
Oh yeah, I've only done that once. I got a Chinese once, and I don't know why I was
nothing
stuck.
About that sort of
that sounds lovely
to me.
Oh, wow. I got a Chinese. I'll tell you one time, and I left it overnight. I didn't get around to eating it. They were too long delivering it,
right.
So I wasn't hungry by the time I got there, and I kept it. And I just literally used batch bread as a plate the next day. And Jim. Was so disgusting and beautiful at the same time. I was ashamed of myself and delighted with myself for the whole day.